A Stranger Talk original series.
Excuse my intrusion, Master, but your guests have arrived. Chapter 4, Castle Ravenloft. Castle Ravenloft was built atop the ruin of an old fortress by artisans, wizards, and workers loyal to Strahd's family. Strahd awarded the castle's genius architect, Artemis, with a crypt in the castle's catacombs. The castle was named after Strahd's mother, Ravenovia, who also lies entombed below. The poster map that accompanies this book displays the castle in its entirety. Map 1 on the poster shows a diagram of the castle's base, and the other maps show the castle's interior and exterior. Random encounters. The first time we enter a castle area that isn't otherwise occupied, check. Like, seriously, if you guys are playing this with me, it's. Barovian Commoners. A loud clamor fills the unhallowed halls of Ravenloft. Cries of "Kill the vampire" are mixed with bold voices shouting "Never again!" and "To the crisps!" Angry villagers who have entered the castle brandish torches and pitchforks in a ridiculous display of force. Everywhere they go, they shout for justice. They follow us unless prevented from doing so. As long as these Barovians are with us, you know, the adventurers, Cleveland, Linda, Edmore, all of us, random encounters occur. Barovian witch. We hear a woman's scratchy voice out the name. Grisgulch, where are you? A pox on you, you mangy cat. Through the darkness comes a crone wearing pointed black hat and a burlap gown stained with soot. We can try to hide from the witch. Did we? Or catch her by surprise? This Barovian witch is one of the servants of Strahd dwelling in area K-56. She is calling out the name of her black cat, Familiar, which has gone missing. If we comfort her, the old bat spits at them and begins casting a spell. This encounter only happens once. If this result comes again, treat it as no encounter. Thank you. The black cat. The darkness lets out a demonic hiss. Cat darts out of the shadow, trying its best to avoid you. Weird cat. Right, Linda? Yeah, it's a weird cat. This familiar is searching for its mistress, a Barovian witch. Didn't we just see her, just a few minutes ago? Yeah, we did. It wants nothing to do with the characters, with us, but attacks of concern. If we capture or kill the cat, this encounter doesn't occur again. If this result comes up again, treat it as no encounter. Seriously. I mean, yeah. A Blinsky toy is encountered only if we are moving about the castle, not resting. Otherwise, treat this result as no encounter. We find a discarded toy, something no child would love. Is this toy cursed? The toy has a slogan stitched or printed on its tiny letter. It's no fun. It's no Blinsky. A plush werewolf stuffed with sawdust and tiny wood carved babies. It has a dull knife blade for claws and attractive teeth. This werewolf toy is kind of creepy. Kind of even has like a blooded mouth or something. I don't know. Sorry. Crawling claws. A mob of severed hands. The mummified flesh. Black with soot. Skittering out of the darkness across dusty floors. The crawling claws ganging up on one party member. Miss Linda. During the confusion, one of the claws tries to claw into Linda's backpack and hide there. It makes a dexterity stealth check contested by Linda's passive wisdom perception score. If the claw loses the contest, Linda sees the claw enter the backpack. If the claw wins the contest, it waits until Linda takes a long rest before scooting out to attack. Luckily, Linda does see it, so good for her. Crawling, strawed zombies. You hear the deadly groan of something vile. The groans are coming from a strawed zombie that is missing both of its legs, so that only its head, torso, and arms remain. It uses its arms to drag itself across the floor. The crawling zombie has 15 hit points remaining. If we are moving quietly, then not using light sources, like, we can try to hide from the crawling zombie, which unfortunately Edmore brings out a lantern. Crazy. So, we run.
Let's get away! Edmore, why'd you bring that out?
Inzermerelda, the Averick. I'm not gonna try. Azermilda? No. Esmeralda
has cast a greater invisibility spell on herself and is stealthily exploring the castle. Choose
one character in the back rank of the party's marching order. Okay, since I don't know, Evermore is a little big. I want the biggest in the front, so Evermore is big. Okay, I guess Cleveland. I'm gonna put Linda second, but then put Cleveland in the back.
Yeah, but then put the other girl and then the other boy in the bag. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of forgetting my characters' names. It's been a long time since I did this. But, like, okay, but I'll remember them again. You feel a gentle tap on your shoulder, but see nothing behind you. If the character who is touched by Esmeralda reacts in an alarming or threatening manner, she hastily whispers, "Don't be frightened. We're on the same side." Thank gosh. I thought Esmeralda was like evil. But I'm glad. I'm glad she's on the same side as us. Thank you, Esmeralda. I love you. I mean, not really. I mean, we just met. Esmeralda is hunting Strahd, but her efforts to corner the vampire have so far been thwarted, and she fears that she might be in over her head. If we don't ask her to join the party, she wishes them well and goes on her way. Esmeralda, join our party. Really? Yes, join our party. We're already a party of five. We need you so we can take down Strahd once and for all and free this village from Strahd's grasp and his deadly, somberest fog. She agrees to join us. Thank you. So, Esmeralda tests our knowledge about about vampires by asking us questions. Have you ever seen a vampire change its form? Yes, we have. Cleveland's aunt, obviously. Yes. That's not funny. Aunt Belinda was going through things. Bitten by a vampire. That's obviously a thing she went through. So yeah. And do you know how to counteract a vampire's regenerative ability? We could learn. Honestly, we can learn. Yes, we can learn how to do this. Counter ability to attack a vampire. Yes, we could do this. Okay, one more. Whatever their answers, she ultimately agrees to come along with us. This random encounter happens only once. If this result comes up again, treat it as no encounter. Flying swords! Out of the gloom flies a rubber blade, a rusty blade, followed by another. If more than two flying swords are encountered, the others aren't far behind. These weapons drift about the castle and attacks intruders within range of their blind sight. Giant spider cocoons! Oh no, spiders! They're here! A giant spider cocoon is encountered only if the characters are moving about the castle, not resting. Otherwise, yeah. A white cocoon is suspended from the ceiling amid thick webs and appears to hold something human-like. What is that? Spider? Redin. If cone's contents. A wooden mannequin wearing gown. A Barovian witch. She screams like a wild animal and begins casting spells. A straw zombie. It fights until killed. A Barovian lunatic. A male commoner. If freed, he cackles until silenced, or until calm emotions spell is cast on him. A lesser restoration spell cures his madness. At which point he tries to flee the castle. A dead Barovian that serves as host to a swarm of insects. The spiders. The baby giant spiders, each one the size of a tarantula, crawls out of the Barovian's gaping mouth, or bursts forth from its distended belly. A Vistana bandit, commoner, male or female. The Vistana knows castle's layout and helps us until Strahd or more Vistani appear, at which point the treacherous Vistana turns on us. Seriously, how come nothing's that fair? It's Rhaedyn. Rhaedyn was killed. If Rhaedyn was killed or captured in a previous encounter, this encounter doesn't occur. Otherwise, Strahd's mysterious chamberlain approaches quietly, a character whose passive wisdom perception school meets or exceeds Rhaedyn's dexterity. Check her out, check. Hear him. The master wishes to see you, intones a grim in the darkness. No, let's try that again. The master wishes to see you, intones a grim voice in the darkness. Rhaedyn directs us to a random location in the castle. The chapel. Strahd isn't actually at the location, indicates that he is. If we ask Rhaedyn to lead the way, he declines. If we ask for directions, he tells us whether we need to ascend, descend, or remain on the level we're at. If we attack him, he fights to the death. Otherwise, he doesn't leave until we do. Shadows. If one or more of us have a passive perception, wisdom perception score of 16 or higher, which Edmore does, honestly. Can't shake the feeling that something is behind you. When you look back, you see a shadow, tall and still, but nothing of its dimensions that could cast it. If more than one shadow is present, the others are close but hidden in the darkness. These undead shadows follow us, but do not attack unless attacked. First, they otherwise obey Strahd's command. Strahd von Zarevich. Strahd makes a surprise appearance. The crack of thunder. The castle stirring the dust and cobwebs. You hear a voice. Good evening. Any of us who has a passive wisdom perception score lower than 19 is surprised at Strahd's appearance. seemingly out of nowhere, the vampire prefers to attack his surprised character, choosing the one closest to him. Otherwise, yeah. Oh no. You hear a peal of thunder, followed by flapping of tiny bat wings. Suddenly, a dark cloud of bats descend upon you. These bats are servants of Strahd. They attack us without provocation. Trinket. One random character finds a lost trinket. Read the following text. You kick something, a trinket buried in the dust. To determine what character finds, roll already. Okay, I'm rolling. A tarnished silver platter with the lid. If character comes within 5 feet of the servant, it lifts the lid, revealing a bunch of moldy scones. The first character to eat a scone gains inspiration. On later occurrences of this encounter, luckily Edmore picks up the scone, takes a bite of it. There we go. Crawling claw that attacks the nearest character. Wow. Silver goblet worth 50 gain points. Fills the grim wine. The character who drinks the wine must have DC 15 constitution saving throw, taking 44 poison damage on a failed save. Ouch! 44 down! Ow! Or half as much damage on a successful. Cleveland, you okay? Yes, I'm fine. On future occurrences of this encounter, the wine acts as a poison of healing. A gold candelabrum with 3 branches, each one holding an unlit candle. A purple silk handkerchief with white ruffled edges. On future occurrences of this encounter, the handkerchief is smeared with fresh blood. A crystal dinner bell. The unseen servant rings the bell. If one of us come within 10 feet of it, the sound attracts hungry vampire spawns, which arrives in 1d4. That's probably like a location. Plus one round. A wizard's spellbook with a black velvet dust jacket over its stitched leather cover. The book contains all the spells Strahd has prepared on the subsequent occurrence of this encounter. The tome is a non-magical leather bound storybook with 25 game points. Spawn, straight vampire spawn. Creatures with pale flesh scuttle across the ceiling like spiders, their red eyes glowing in the dark as they draw near. Their cracked and blood-stained lips open wide, revealing sharp fangs. These minions of Strahd, former adventurers, creep along ceilings and drop down on unsuspecting prey. The vampire spawn fight until destroyed. We destroy all of them. Vistani thugs. You hear voices with thick accents. A small group of Visani, male and female humans, claimed that they were vampires, captives, only recently escaped from the castle's dungeon. They offer to help the party. In truth, they are loyal to Strahd and betray us as soon as he appears. If we accept their offer, the thugs pretend to be the party's allies. Good. Obviously, we have trust issues, so we don't. We don't trust them. After like the other encounters, like, yeah, we're obviously having trust issues, especially from like Frozen Sake. I don't know. Alice for a long, as they remain with the party, or until Strahd appears. If we leave the castle, the thugs accompany us, since choosing to remain in the castle would like arouse our suspicion. Wait. No, lights. The air grows much colder, and you can hear the march of footsteps drawing near. If we are moving quietly and not carrying light sources, we can try to hide from the lights. These undead soldiers once served as a guard, captains in Castle Ravenloft. They still wear bits, tattered livery, and they attack the living on site. Treasure. The whites carry long swords that have the crest of Barovia worked into their cross guards. Each white also carries a pouch holding 2d20 EP. Each coin of Barovian mintage and featuring the profiled visage of Strahd von Zarevich. Okay, guys. I'm gonna be right back. I'm about to do something. But like, yeah, so, I mean, it'll be like a second for you guys, because basically, I'm just gonna go do something. The air grows much colder, and you can hear the march of footsteps growing near. If we are moving quietly and not carrying light sources, we can try to hide from the lights. These undead soldiers once served as guard captains in Castle Ravenloft. They will wear bits of tattered livery and they attack the living on sight. Treasure. The whites carry long swords that have the crest of Barovia. Barovia worked into the cross guards. Each white also carries a pouch holding 2d20 EP. Each coin of Barovian mintage and featuring the profiled visage of Strahd von Zarevich. Walls of Ravenloft. As we enter the castle, the weather worsens. Dismal. Rain starts to fall, becoming a torrent within the hour. Lightning redoubtedly lights the sky, followed by peals of thunder that makes the castle shudder. Thick cold fog swirls in this courtyard. Sporadic flashes of lightning lances the weeping clouds overhead as thunder shakes the ground. The drizzle. You see torch flames glittering on each side outside the keep's open doors. Warm light spills out of the entrance, flooding the courtyard. High above the entrance is a round window with shards of broken glass lodged in its iron frames. The wall that encloses the courtyard are 90 feet high. The dark towers of the castle rise even higher. Doors in the gate towers on each side of the tunnel entrance are shut against rain, and howling and rushing and wind rushes through the courtyard. The open main doors to the keep leads to the large shattered window overhead, overlooking the main entrance, is 50 feet from the courtyard and leads to area K25. No lights can be seen through the great windows. Gate towers, each outer gate tower has an iron-bound door with a built-in lock. Characters who enter a gate to a fine tower find themselves on a flagstone floor with a hollow tower stretching high above them. The mechanism for rising and lowering the drawbridge and portcullis fill both gate towers. The latch mechanism is in each tower is magically activated by a word that only Strahd knows. It can also be activated with a successful casting of dispel magic. Neither the drawbridge nor portcullis will move until both latches are activated. Two gates, one north of the keep and one to the south, prevent easy access to what lies beyond them. A massive wall juts out to connect the outer walls of the castle within the keep. A 20 foot wide, 20 foot tall archway offers passage through the connecting wall, but is blocked by a rusting iron portcullis. Servants' courtyard. This courtyard northeast of the keep is enclosed by towering walls. A stone carriage house with hinged wooden doors stands silent in the corner where the outer walls meet. Across from the carriage house, a slender wooden door reinforced with iron bands leads into the keep. The carriage house is described in Area K4. The wooden door, which leads to Area K23, is swollen and stuck in its frame. A character can shoulder open the stuck door with a successful D10 strength check. Obviously, Edmore, you can do this. Obviously, Edmore, he's big and strong, like that. That's it. Yeah, Edmore. Edmore then pushes open the door, which makes a loud noise. The double door swings open to reveal a sleek black carriage fitted with glass windows and brass lanterns. The chapel garden at the back of the keep, behind towering buttresses and tall and tall-boarded upstained glass windows. A small garden struggled to survive. Small flowers pressed skyward against the gloom. A pair of large iron gates blocks the way to some kind of overlook. The large iron gate squeals loudly on rusted hinges when opened. Dark clouds overhead drizzle constantly. A flagstone avenue passes between empty outbuildings, leading to a stone paved overlook. And the overlook has a low stone wall, adorned with outward facing gargoyle carvings. If a character peers over the balcony, read. A flash of lightning illustrates the dismal village of Barovia. Its rooftop visible above smoldering blanket of fog. 1,000 feet below. If a character who has passive wisdom, score of 15 or higher, appears over the wall. Underneath the platform on which you stand, about 100 feet down, a stone construction protrudes from the cliff face. Three dirt caked windows are set into it. The windows are so dirty as to be opaque. Although a character within reach of one can scrape the dirt away and see a dusty tomb beyond area K88. Characters who try to reach the windows from the overlook must descend 110 feet and move 20 feet back under the platform. This descent can't be accomplished without the aid of magic or use of climber kits. Anyone who falls from overlook plummets. Nah, I don't want my characters to die, but it's kind of stupid to actually do that. The entry. The ornate outer doors of the castle hang open, flanked by fluttering torches in iron scones. 20 feet inside the castle is a second set of doors. The doors in front you suddenly swing open, revealing a grand hall filled with sound of organ music. So yeah. That's about it until part two, guys. Because yeah, I'm doing a part two after this. So yeah. Listening, Logan.
Yes, Edmund. In here. Let's go.
Let's go now. Let's get out of here. No, let's get this over with. We have to get this over with. I beat Star now. We have to get this over with. Let's go.